Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And I got to ask a question. Where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday. And we got started with our girlfriend Vivian and our socially conscious segment, and she gave us a story about Google getting involved, if you will, with the Abortion Rights Act. But however, it's done in a different way. They are now deleting automatically your history when you do searches for, let's say, abortion clinics or any medical search you may do or domestic violence websites and stuff like that. You know, they want to try to protect you. And that is pretty savvy. And it's a good thing. Because this way, you know, if anyone ever got a hold to your phone or your device or your computer, they can't see, you know, what you look up. It is a private matter what you look up. And, you know, this is a way of you being protected. So at least you don't have to, if you're using Google, you don't have to worry about forgetting to pull out those searches before someone else might see it. Oh, we're talking also about the mayor's aide who was robbed at a gunpoint. Yes, and when he was robbed or being robbed, He said, hey, I belong to the mayor. I'm in the mayor's office. So I thought we all was bothering. And, of course, they didn't pay him any attention yet. Now, you know, we got to talking yesterday, and we were, you know, talking about the possibility that, yeah, you know, you about to pull out anything that you may think would deter people from, you know, pursuing some crime against you. And clearly, they can't, no, because they continue to do what they do. And unfortunately, I guess they said, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. If you can get, you know, get our names and catch us, and Eric Adams, you know, gets involved in, oh, well, we were about that until that actually happened. So, unfortunately, death did not stop the show. Yes. Well, the ladies were in the house, and they did a fine job, as always. And we talked about your testimony and why it's so crucial to share your testimony. And the first thing they say, it's yours. It's your testimony. You know, nobody can tell that story like you can tell that story. Yes, only you can actually, you know, tell what happened, how it went down, who was involved, how it affected you, how it changed your life. Only you can. Can't nobody else do that. You know, and we talked about the fact that, you know, your testimony actually showcases the love of God. Yes. You know, what you can show, that some of your greatest challenges the Lord brought you through. You know, there's only one reason why he would do it. And that's because he loves you. And this kind of answered my own dilemma here. You know, finding out something that someone did, something very unpleasant that someone did, you know, and I'm like, okay, I guess that's my story. I'm adding on to my story. And, you know, it's, you know, when you tell these things, it reminds you of how much God really loves you. And I would say, you know, get to thinking, to thanking him, because, you know, you don't see the forest for the trees at times. You know, you really don't. You know, when that thing hurts, when you think about how this event or incident hurt you, yes, you know, you go down in the pit sometimes. But when you can start talking about it, and when you do start talking about it, and you hear yourself tell this story, it starts marinating inside of you of how great God is and how much God loves you, and that's why he decided to bring you through. And that's what you're talking about. Well, remember, your testimony is not just for you. It's for someone else. And as Pastor Charlotte so eloquently said yesterday, it's not your story. Oh, that's something to think about. Something to think about. Well, we could not finish off our Wednesday morning festivities without our prayer partner and our pastor, Charlotte Beard, who brought us our Faith Over Fear segment. And, you know, that was an easy one because it's so easy. It's so easy to think about why people wouldn't share their testimony. You know, two of us said yesterday that, you know, we're very private people. We don't tell our quote-unquote business. And we just really had to learn that it ain't your business. For sure, it's not. It's God's business. and he wants it cold. So, you know what, we're going to have to wrap that up. We're going to have to wrap that up and pack that away and put it someplace else where we can't get access to it, because it has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with our feelings. And I do realize, God really takes care of your feelings. He really does. And that's my testimony this morning, you know, just hearing some things that were very disturbing to me. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I was really upset initially, and then after a while, still upset, but the internal feeling, in all honesty, I just kept trying to fight it. Yeah, as I came down and, you know, the air came out of the balloon, and I was like, well, why am I not feeling differently? Why am I thinking more mad and more angry than I'm actually feeling it? Well, I have to tell y'all, that's God's love. Because now I can testify that, again, that God's love does it all. You know, I'm trying to get some things accomplished. And if I go over into my feelings, then what happens? Then I get kind of stuck, right? And then how does God get the glory? He does it. He doesn't get the glory at all. So there you have it. It's a demonstration of God's love at its finest. So come on. Let's get this thing together. Alrighty? Alright. Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, and this is the day we can focus on our health, whether it be our mental health, whether it be our physical health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, our financial health. Whatever help you want to talk about, or whatever help that comes up today, it's about our health. So come on and join the party and get some therapy. Get some guidance. Let's get that going today. Okay? All right. Well, I want you to take this time to go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you take the time to go tell somebody that is the time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
According to South Korea's Ministry of Health, more than 600 cases of hepatitis A have been reported, mainly in Gyeonggi province and the cities of Seoul and Daejeon. The exact source of transmission is under investigation. Strict hygiene and food precautions are advised for travel to risk areas. The best way to prevent getting the infection is to receive the hepatitis A vaccine. These vaccinations are recommended for those who live in South Korea, as well as travelers going to South Korea and family members being stationed in South Korea. All service members receive the hepatitis A vaccine as part of routine vaccinations. Symptoms of hepatitis A include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, fatigue, abdominal pain, yellow skin or eyes, and dark urine or clay stools. The best way to prevent hepatitis A infection is to get vaccinated. If you have questions about exposure, schedule an appointment with your healthcare provider.
Good morning, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yes, today we talk about our health, whether it be our physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, or financial, or any other health that you can think about. Yesterday we concentrate on our emotional health and all of the different things that we have going on inside of us, and we have no clue what's happening, right? All right. So let's give God thanks, because we're on the other side of the week. Yes, God has brought us safely through all the way till Thursday. And there's a lot to be thankful for, because whatever we did, God kept us covered. And we have no, or we should have no complaints. Right? Right. So let's get to this health. So, this morning, we're going to talk about sneaky signs you might be eating too much salt. Now, we all know that, you know, we have to stay away from a bunch of salt, and, you know, we have to be concerned about high blood pressure, and we want to make sure that, you know, you get all the little tidbits you can to, you know, pay attention to, you know, how this stuff is happening for you. So, you know, happening to you, I should say. So, again, signs you might be eating too much salt. One, you always feel bloated. They say since sodium plays a crucial role in fluid balance, too much of it can cause your body to retain water. So, you know, that's the way you feel. You start feeling bloated because you actually are becoming bloated. They say high sodium diets typically include more highly processed foods and fewer whole fiber-rich foods. So you know what that means. If you're not eating enough fiber, you know, you're not going as much. You're not expelling as much. So now that you're, you know, eating more sodium-based food, now you feel bloated, because you are. You're bloated with water and all the kind of things that go on in your body. Okay? So, a second sign that you're eating too much salt, you can't seem to go regularly. You can't get regular. Okay? While bloating often comes with constipation, when you eat too much salt, that might be the culprit right there. Okay? They say when you eat too much salt, the water content in your intestines and stool can move to other parts of the body to achieve fluid balance. Isn't that something? Look at how God made our body. So they say filling up on hydrating, high-fiber foods like watermelon, beans, and apples can help restore the body's water balance. And therefore, we'll get moving. Okay? All right. Number three, you get frequent headaches. Okay? They say this whole fluid imbalance thing can really wreak havoc on your quality of life. They say a study shows that reducing sodium intake to no more than 2,300 milligrams per day and upping your intake of fruits, vegetables, and low-fat dairy could significantly reduce the frequency of one's headaches. So if you have a constant headache, they say dehydration is a major sign of headaches. And even if you feel like you drink enough water, excessive intake of sodium could be putting your fluid balance out of whack. So think about it. If you're not filling up on fruits and vegetables and you're going for more foods that have high sodium in it, even if you're drinking water, you may not be, it may not be balancing because you're overdoing it in the other area. So you really got to take the time to give your body a, you know, a good balance so that it can work for you and not against you. Alrighty? Now, for those of you who sip water, here we go. One of the things that shows that you're eating too much salt is you're always thirsty. Now, I'll start off by saying, for those of you who sip water, that's not going to do anything for you. I'm sorry. I know you don't like water. Who still says that these days? I don't know. With us understanding how crucial water is, I know, still hear people saying, but I don't like water. Okay, well, you're always thirsty. If you consume a lot of sodium, because your body is, you know, sending a signal that it needs more water to balance it out. Okay? So your thirst may be unquenchable because now the sodium has sucked up all of the fluid out of your body. Okay? And they say if you feel like you can't quench your thirst after a day spent in the sun or eating stadium food at a game, or all those foods that, you know, you ain't got no business eating or drinking or all of that stuff on a consistent basis, then you may not be drinking enough water. Okay? So they have this hypernatremia occurs when there is excess sodium in the blood. They say it can be caused by not drinking enough water on a regular basis, which leads to dehydration. They say symptoms include confusion, muscle twitches, and even seizures. Now, you didn't think it could go that far, huh? You didn't think it could go that far? Yes. Well, that can happen if you don't drink enough water and you're going buck wild on the sodium intake. Okay? Here's another one. A sign that you are taking in too much salt. This is kind of easy. You have high blood pressure. Yes. And we all know about this one. Okay? As long as you eat a whole lot of salt, it's going to affect your blood pressure. Okay? So you really want to step back from that. Don't take your body for granted. If you're a thin person, if you're a healthy person, you know, don't assume that you can eat and drink what you want, because then your body will begin to work against you. Okay? They say foods that are high in sodium are often high in saturated fat, and both put you at risk, and it's worsening your heart health. Step up that fiber game, people. You know how we always talk about that fiber. Eat more fruits and vegetables and keep that sodium at a lower level. Now, here's a little thing I noticed, and I tell you, you have to notice what you notice on your own, because not everything is going to be brought to your attention. So a few years ago, I was picking up a box of salt. Here, you know, I don't cook with salt, and I really try not to put salt on my food. But you know, you got to put salt in the water, to boil the water, all kinds of stuff, right? So I pick up the box, and it's red and white. So I figure I know it's my diamond crystal. Well, no. It's some off-name brand. And no more diamond crystal. on the shelf. So I go into another supermarket, the same thing, go into another supermarket, the same thing. And I'm saying all of this for a reason. You know, that I finally found nothing. Diamond Crystal was not out there. So I started, you know, using this other box, which I honestly believe that is Diamond Crystal because the box is too close to it. And the salt crystals were so much more heavy. Yes. So much more heavy than normal diamond crystal salt. And this food was salty. So every subsequent box of salt that I bought, you know, I don't care about no name brand salt and all of that at the end of the day, even though I went reaching for Diamond Crystal. But I'm talking about Morton. I'm talking about, I think it's Red Cross or something in the yellow box. These brands have been around for years, especially Morton with the little girl in the umbrella and her rain boots and raincoat. If you are in my age range, you know this box. And for some reason, all of the different boxes, they were all, the salt was very heavy. And so that's why I wanted to bring it up, because you're really going to have to watch how much you use. You know, even if you used to use a little, let's say a half a teaspoon, you're going to have to go down to a quarter teaspoon, because these salt crystals are so much more heavy, and it makes your food salty. Well, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about putting too much salt on your food, eating with too much salt, and that's what's going to give you high blood pressure. So you got to watch. You have to watch your intake, because if you don't watch your intake, you're going to be pulling in all of this sodium. And that's why we're having this conversation today. And I wanted to bring that up for our very last item. You're experiencing stomach ulcers. They say a study from the University of Arkansas found a link between following a high salt diet and stomach inflammation, which could increase one's risk for stomach cancer. Okay, while this study was done on gerbils and more research is needed to support the findings, they say it does support the idea that excess salt intake could lead to stomach ulcers and later promote stomach cancer. Now, if this is true, do you really want to put yourself at that type of risk? No. You want to make sure you're doing everything you can, and that's why I brought up the salt crystals, because we got to pay attention. Got to pay attention. I try my best to cook my food with enough seasoning that I don't need to put salt on my food afterwards, because once you do that, the salt tastes different as well. Yeah. Can't get rid of it. Have you ever had a dish, you wouldn't put salt on it, and it's so salty you couldn't even eat it? Yep. I definitely know about that. And I learned that messing with that no-name brand, that Morton, or that, I don't know why I want to call it Red Cross, and this new Diamond Crystal box brand. Well, I do want to let you know that Diamond Crystal is back on the shelf. You got to look, though. You have to look. I found it some months ago downtown. I don't know. I don't remember what the store was, but it was a high-end supermarket, like a Whole Foods or something like that. I can't think of the name of it, but it was on the corner of West 23rd and 6th Avenue. There's a big supermarket there, and I found this Diamond Crystal box of salt, and they were selling it, you know, nice and inexpensively. So I went into another store a few weeks ago, and I actually saw diamond crystal. So it's still out there, and it's much thinner. Much thinner. So you don't have to really worry about, you know, putting too much salt on your food. But again, cook well. Cook so you don't have to, you know, put that added salt on your food, because we sure want to keep you around for a long time. You know, high blood pressure is a killer. It is definitely a silent killer. I've watched it do its damage over the years to people. And once you get high blood pressure, you will be on meds. You don't have to stay on it, but you will be on it. Okay? So let's go over those signs that you're eating too much salt and that you always feel bloated. You can't seem to go regularly to the bathroom. You get frequent headaches. You're always thirsty. You have high blood pressure. And you're experiencing some stomach ulcers. Now, that is not a good thing that we want to experience in order to pay attention, right? All right, right. Okay. So, we're talking about health today. And let's talk about this 8-year-old who was murdered, as they call it, by her parents and up to 12 other people. So they, the police in Australia have charged 12 members of a religious group with the murder connection of a little girl, Elizabeth, who was 8 years old. And they say that she was denied care over a period of time. And she has, you know, for an underlying medical condition. So after her death, her mother, who was 47, father's 50, they were charged with murder, torture, and failure to provide necessities of life. And they face up to life on the murder charges. Okay. Now, neither one of them have submitted a plea yet, but after a 6-month investigation, they say the police charged them and 12 more people with the murder, and it's a religious group. Yes. So basically, the little girl's older sister paints the picture, and she says that, you know, they didn't allow you to, the church didn't allow you to do anything, that you could not only not get involved with anything, but they would not get you any medical attention because they didn't feel as though you should have outside help. They don't feel like you should have medicine. They don't feel like you should go to the dentist. That is God's responsibility to heal. And she said she watched her sister die. She left after, you know, she couldn't get along with mom anymore regarding, you know, the stringent rules and regulations of this group. But they watched her die. Now, her underlying condition, she was a diabetic. And she could have had other, you know, she could have had other ailments, but that underlying condition that they're talking about is the fact that she was so diabetic that she needed insulin. So needless to say, if you need insulin and you're not getting it, that eventually your numbers will be so out of control that it slowly rips your body apart. So I don't know how long she went being denied, you know, the basics, you know, to treat her illness. But when she got so sick, they say that the mom, dad, and these 12 other people pretty much sat around and watched her die. That's what they're saying. Because they're saying you could have done something. And they're sitting on the other side of the fence saying, hey, we did do something. We step back and let God work. I'm just adding in that part. But that's pretty much what they said. You know, they sat around and they looked at her. That's it. No matter how bad she was suffering, no matter how bad, you know, she was going through it, they sat back and did nothing because of their belief that says you don't get no medical attention. God is going to heal. And we've talked about this before on His Due Time, and, you know, God needs you to be wise. You know, yes, God will heal. We have no qualms on believing that God will heal. However, God will heal through His people. God will heal using someone else. God will heal using technology that He has given man to put together. So not going to the doctor is really not, you know, not allowing God to heal. As a matter of fact, I am challenging that if you allow the doctors to do their job, if you allow medicine to do its job, it is God. Because these people would have no knowledge. They would have no knowledge how to do any of this stuff. Now, of course, you know, with certain things, you use your discretion. But to sit at home and get no medical help, and I don't blame them for, I'm sorry, even under religious belief, if it costs somebody their life, then yeah, they should be locked up. Not one voice of reason. Well, maybe they could have been. Let me not say that. But it appears as though the whole gang went along with it. And I guess maybe for me, if you did say something and they ignored you and you kept on going, yeah, you need to be locked up too. I don't want to hear how your conscious mind just went blank because you couldn't see, you know, what they were doing and, you know, you're so sorry. No. No, 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 no. You actually helped to murder her. You left her for dead. That's what pretty much happened. They left her for dead. All right. Well, speaking of being left for dead, they have this funeral home owner who defrauded the relatives of their loved ones who they gave to her for cremation. Well, instead of cremating the family, she was charged with dissecting their family corpses and selling the body parts without permission. Yes. So she would take these people's money and he would cut them up, sell the parts, and they would not know anything. And she was savvy because she not only had a funeral home, but she had a business called Donor Services. And they say that she was feeding this Donor Services site, you know, getting her money there because she was taking the cremation money. And instead of cremating the bodies, say that she brokered for harvesting heads, spines, arms, and legs, and then sold them mostly for surgical training and other educational purposes. Are you ready for that? That's exactly what she did. You need me to read that again? Let me say it again. They say, court records show her body broker company harvested head, spine, arms, and legs, and then sold them mostly for surgical training and other educational purposes. So they say her trial took 3 weeks, and along with her mother, who was also on trial, they were sentenced guilty. They were sentenced guilty. They pled not guilty, but they now have this change of plea hearing, especially for the mother, who's changing her plea on July 12th. But they said that they pretty much found her guilty, and they are asking for real time. They're asking for real time because they said that they don't want her getting off. They don't want her getting off. They really have been messing with these families' people. They also say that she sold hearts and kidneys and tendons for transplant purposes. And she kept the cadavers and other body parts and used them for her own purposes. So they have really been doing some research, and they say that she was charging $1,000 for cremation that never occurred, and she offered others a free cremation in exchange for body donation. And they say that many families received ashes from bins mixed with the remains of different cadavers. And one client said that they even had concrete mix instead of his relative's ashes. So, they really going down. They are really, really going down. So I would really like to see how the mother fares with all of this, because they are charging her as well. So, but you know, again, we've talked about even this before, about how the funeral directors weren't taking care of the bodies. They were doing what they wanted to do with them. Well, here you got another case. So here I have: does the crime fit the punishment? Does the punishment fit the crime? I said it backwards. Does the punishment fit the crime? Well, they have this bodega worker. Now you tell me. I'm going to give you the number, 347-285-7777. All right, so you tell me what you think. So they have this Manhattan bodega clerk who had an argument with a young lady because her EBT debit card was declined when she tried to use it to buy chips for her daughter. And, you know, one might say you need a whole card to buy some chips, but, you know, that's the lighter side of this thing here. So she goes to buy chips for the 10-year-old daughter. And when it was declined, they say he snatched the bag out of the daughter's hand. So she knocked over some items on the counter and ran to get her man. So he storms into the bodega and attacks the gentleman about 10 minutes later. And all of this is on camera. So they show her, you show him standing over her, and she's standing on the side and she's yelling, and you know, she's all involved, and you know, of course, make it matters worse because now he got to really, you know, base up because she's standing right there. So he takes out a knife and she stabs the worker in the shoulder during this altercation. Somehow or another, as he's being thrown around, he gets his hand on a knife and he stabs the man who's attacking him and he kills him. Yes. So now this whole thing has shifted because now it's not about, you know, the man being attacked anymore. Now it's about this guy committing murder. Now, again, they have all of this on videotape, okay? This man has never had any problems. He's never been in any trouble. But they say that the guy who was attacking him, the girl's boyfriend, was already on parole for assaulting a cop at the time of another case that he was on during the deadly encounter. And he has at least 8 prior arrests, including assault, robbery, and assault during a domestic dispute. So we don't know if the domestic dispute is with this young lady or not. But the other guy has nothing. Never had anything or, you know, no problems. So he got his hand on the box cutter. And he stabbed him. He says, I took the knife we used to open boxes. So it couldn't be, you know, that's what he's using. He stabs the man. As the man is grabbing him up, throwing him up against, you know, you literally see this. There's pictures, there's video footage of all of this going on, and the man loses his life. The attacker loses his life. So the prosecutors ask for $500,000 bail or bond, and the judge sets the bail at $250 cash or $500 bond. That's what he said, you know, he put out there. So I wanna ask you, does the punishment fit the crime? Should he be sitting on Rikers for this incident, or should they have let him walk? Because despite the fact that he did stab a man, you know, in his, you know, to defend himself, he needed to definitely, you know, stop this man. Okay? So I want to know what you think. 347-285-7777. Okay? So we're going to talk to our little Dewtown crew today. And let's say good morning to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Feeling a little stuffy, but I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right. How are you over there?
I'm doing good, you know, here at the school for summer school for some of the hard-headed kids who ain't do their work. But, you know,
okay. Doing, yeah.
It's good to be on, man. It's not like I ain't been on in a long time.
I know. So we got some stories. I know you came on a little later. So I want to know.
Oh, well, let me do my quick. I'm sorry. Let me do my quick quote. You know, I got to get the quick quote in. So this one,
okay.
Real quick. It says, all dreams are within reach. All you have to do is keep moving towards them. And that's by Miss Viola Davis.
Okay. Okay, I'll accept that one. I'll accept that one. Brother Al, thank you so much for your quote. So
yes, yes.
I don't think you heard the initial story, but did you hear the story about the funeral director?
Was that the one that was stealing the body parts?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. You know.
Well, let me just go over the story a minute for those who just may have come
on. Okay.
So they say instead she took $1,000 per cremation. She also has a donor services that she has, and it's a legitimate business. So it's not like she was working on the side. So she has the funeral home and the donor services business. And they say that instead of cremating the body, it says that she harvested heads, spines, arms, and legs, and sold them mostly for surgical training and other educational purposes. They say that she gave the supposed remains to the family, but it was from different cadavers, and one even got concrete mixed in the urn instead of his relative's ashes. So they say that they're getting ready to, I mean, they're really looking at her and her mom, and they say that she was even found to have extracted and sold the gold teeth of some of the deceased. That's what else was said. And, you know, we talked about this before slightly, you know, when you give your family to these people and they end up not taking care of it. What comes to your head, Brother Al?
So much disrespect, you know, disrespect for the dead and the family. You know, you're going to take and sell these parts of people's loved ones, you know, people thinking that, okay, I got my cousin cremated and I got the ashes in the urn and you put concrete in there or whatever you put in there. You know, that's just so disrespectful, you know, like... So many different stuff come to mind with me. Like, you know, the people who did those things, you should have, okay, you can live with one kidney, so we need to take her kidney out and donate it to some people who are on the kidney list. Everything you can live with one, we should take it out of you if you got two of them.
Wow. All right. That's an interesting take on things. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right, Brother Al. Well, does the punishment fit the crime? You have the gentleman who's working inside of the bodega. The EBT card that this woman gives you to buy this bag of chips, it doesn't work. So he supposedly snatches back the chips out of the little girl's hand. So mom gets mad, knocks over everything on the counter, and runs and gets her boyfriend. And the boyfriend comes back, and he's smacking the man around. They have all of this on video. All of it is on video. And they have on video that they see him being roughed up. And the young lady stabbed the worker in the shoulder with a knife. Well, in all of the melee, the worker gets his hand on a knife that he said they used to open up boxes, and he stabs the attacker. And the attacker is dead now. And they said that, you know, here it is, there's this man who does nothing, who has never been, you know, since he's been here from the Dominican Republic, they have never had any problems with him at all. However, the assault, the one who was doing the assaulting, was already on parole for assaulting a cop at the time of a deadly encounter. They say he has at least 8 prior arrests, including assault, robbery, and assault during a domestic dispute. And now that he's dead, they were asking, the prosecutors were asking for $500 bail or bond, but instead the judge gave $250 cash or $500 bond. And because he's considered a flight risk, because he has a ticket to go to the Dominican Republic that was scheduled for next week. So considering that he's considered a flight risk, you know, they took back all of his, you know, passports and all of that kind of stuff. And he's sitting on Rikers Island right now. Do you think that the punishment fits the crime?
So he's sitting on Rikers Island. I guess he's waiting to go to trial or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's so hard for me reading up on the law, and the law is just crazy how it works. But you know, he was defending himself. You know, the guy was beating him or whatever, and he defended himself by that. But then in the next order, there's a dead body. And they just ain't gonna let that go. Okay, he's been doing this and you killed him to protect yourself. Okay, cool. That just ain't gonna happen like that. But he was defending himself. I think he was good for defending himself, but the law gonna say different. It's definitely gonna say different.
Okay. So you think he shouldn't be sitting on Rikers Island?
No, I think he should. I think he should be sitting there until they get things in order. Because you never know, even though he hasn't been in no trouble or nothing like that, he might try to skip town. You know, fear makes people do some things. So I think he should be sitting there until they get, you know, get things situated.
Okay. All righty now. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brother Al. And I want to take this opportunity to talk to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, good morning. Trust in the Lord with all of thy heart. Lead unto thy own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. Thank you for that biblical quote to get us up and running. Thank you so much. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. I'm doing well, thank you.
That's good, that's good, that's good. So we've got the two stories. You know, you have your funeral home director who also has her donor services. And I want to ask, should we have expected all of this mishmash with cremation, donor services mixed? Should we be surprised that with her having a donor services company, that she would be accused of all of these things? Are you surprised?
Well, I mean, knowing that she has a company that donates parts, no, I'm not surprised. I mean, but did these folks know that in the beginning? You know, no one expects, you know, just half of the body in the urn. You know, And I'm still at a myth of this whole thing, because how do you know it was just a lay? You know what I mean? I mean, is it a bigger urn or is it a smaller urn? How do you know you didn't get the whole body? You know, I mean, they're ashes. So, but I mean, if you know, then yeah, I would be frustrated, because, you know, if I'm cremating someone and I want my loved one at home, then I would want the whole body. But how do you know? I mean, who sets that and say, hey, you know, the air is missing, all the, you know, the hand is missing. I just don't know. Does it go by weight? You know, if you weigh a certain amount, you know, when you die, then there should be a certain amount of weight in the vash. I don't know how anyone can tell that that's not all a Johnny in the bottle.
And they can't. You're absolutely right. There's no way to determine if that's, you know, one-third of the body or the whole body. And not only that, they say, I don't know how they figured this out, whether she told or cameras or whatever, because they've been doing their research on this place for quite some time. But they said that even the ashes that were in the urn were different people's ashes. So I agree with you. There's no way of really knowing who you got sitting on your mantletop. You have no idea. But, you know, you need to think about these things when you go get your family cremated. I've always said, how you know who that is in that urn? How you know you ain't got some other ashes? They ain't no spirit ashes. Well, how do we know? Ah, so you're absolutely right. There's no way of telling, you know, who this is in this urn. So I don't know, Pastor K.L. I guess they'll never know. So, you know, she's got these heads, arms, legs that she's selling to science. Now, I guess she figures where else they're going to get these heads from, huh?
Right, yeah. I mean, because, you know, when you fill out the card, you don't say, you know, I like to donate my head. I mean, there's no spot for my head, you know what I mean, on your donation card. So I'm just trying to figure out how, why would you just cut off the head and give those away? You know, the legs, the arm, I'm just confused here. I'm confused. But I guess it's a racket. I guess it's money, and I guess it's legal. So, I mean, I can't be that confused. The things people do for money.
Well, it ain't legal. That's
the love of money.
It's not legal. That's why she's going to jail. Think about this here. There's two things that we can sign up for. You can sign up for organ donation. That's what we fill out on the back of our DMV card. Those are your organs. That is not your toes. You know, your fingers. That's not that. However, you can donate your body to science, which is completely separate, which means from head to toe, they can, you know, really pretty much cut the arm and look at, you know, the arms and, you know, cut the legs and the foot and the veins. And you follow what I'm saying? You can look at, you know, the entire body on that spectrum. But no, this is not legal. You bet that you can, you know, arbitrarily just cut people's bodies up and now start selling them. You know, and that's what she was doing. She was selling it to the school so that the students could learn. And, you know, I mean, and imagine these people working on bodies that weren't even given willingly. And how do you know, you know, that these people would not have said yes? But I guess they can't say yes for you. You've got to be the one that says yes. If there's nothing in writing that says you have said yes, then Shanti Shoshone and Tamaja couldn't take my body and just get it and say, well, you know, we don't want to bury Ma. It costs too much money. Here, y'all take it and y'all donate it to science. So you can't do that on the back end. Your family can't do that. Your loved ones can't do that. But surely you can. So she was well out of, you know, range of what, you know, she was allowed to do, or, you know, how do you say it, she was supposed to do. You were paid to cremate. So anything out of that, Pastor Kelly, if you think about it, it's illegal.
Right.
You paid to burn the box and put the ashes in the urn. And if you don't do anything more than that, you are... But you do something more than that, you ain't following the law. So I don't know. Now let's talk about this. Does the punishment fit the crime? This bodega owner who is being attacked for this argument that took place between him and the young lady, she stabbed him in the shoulder during all the melee. The guy commences to, you know, beating up the deli owner, and now he finds this thing he needs to open up boxes, and he stabs him. And all this is on videotape, and he's sitting out at Rikers Island right now because they have him on, you know, this bail or bond or cash. And, of course, he probably can't afford it. He's only, you know, a worker, a clerk. But they're charging him with murder. Is that, does the punishment fit the crime?
I say no. First of all, I want to know, was it like a Chinese barbecue trip that these people are killing each other for? I mean, you going down for a potato chip. How ignorant is that? And you as the mother, you're mad because you didn't have enough money on your EBT card. So now you go get Brutus to come and make a stand. What was he going to do, get the chips? So now you stab the man because, again, you have no money on your EBT card. And you are embarrassed because you couldn't buy the child any chips. So now he protects himself in self-defense. You swinging, he swinging, I'm swinging too. Because y'all trying to kill me over potato chips. And now I got to go to jail. I just came to work. I came to work. And now I have to go to jail for keeping me alive. I'm sorry you died. That was, when I woke up this morning, it was not my intent. I was not in a bad mental state where I'm saying I'm going to kill somebody. I didn't have no box and no extension cord. I just came to work. And you came in there swinging and stabbing and hitting because you couldn't afford a $2 for $1 chip. And now I got to sit in jail. I'm going to miss my trip to go see my TT and my Nana because I got to sit in here because you wanted to hit me. No. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. The punishment does not fit the crime. I should be going home. They should have rethought this whole thing. You should have called that card before you got out your house to see if you had any money in it. If you don't have enough money for potato chips, baby, don't go to the store.
All righty. I happen to agree, and I won't say the part about whether the punishment fits the crime yet, but I say the same thing, you know, when I read the story, and it says that, you know, she was, you know, when he ran the car and she tried to buy a bag of chips, I said out loud to the listening audience, I said, okay, I won't touch the fact that you needed a card to buy chips. You didn't have no cash in your hand. There was not a neighbor. What about this man you got? What about the man you got?
Right.
You mean to tell me you could run home and get him and tell him that the guy snatched the card out your hand, but you couldn't have asked him for potato chip money? Yeah, I'm in complete agreement over that stupidity. That was dumb. That was dumb. You lost your bag. So on your headstone, it should say, here lies the man who lost his life for a bag of chips, because that's exactly what happened. I agree, John.
By his woman. By his woman.
Yeah.
His woman set him up to die.
Yep.
What kind of love is that?
Yep. Ooh. We got to do a segment. We got to do a segment called What Kind of Love Is That? Shanti's, write that down. Ooh, I like that. And you cannot get any more of these past. Yeah.
I was about to say I want my cut, but, you know.
No. It's for Jesus. It's for Jesus.
The Bible says young people will make room for you.
Yeah, okay. And right, he's going to gift you for the gift here. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with our continuing conversation. But let's hit up Shanti's to see what she's got to say about all of this here. Oh, good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. Good. Glad to hear you're well. All right, we got these two stories. We have the story of... No, well, you know what? I'm going to take that one for another time. So let's stick with the funeral home and the donor services company. with her having both the donor company, the donor services company, along with the funeral home, does it cross your mind that this would be connected without her saying this is connected?
It would, once I realized that she had both of these things at her disposal. It would be like, wait a minute. So what are you doing with these bodies? Are you trying to get some cut under the table? You're cut under the table for these parts? You know, because you, like you, it was already said, you really don't know, you know, what you're getting when, you know, your family member is cremated, everything. And people, there's so many different scams going on now. It's really not that alarming. Like, you shouldn't be that appalled, that flabbergasted, that this is happening. Everyone's trying to get their cut.
Well, I got a question for you, and this is a, you know, a thought. You know, if I decided to cremate, I don't even want the ashes. What I want the ashes? Which I'm going to sit and actually look at it. You know, people buy these expensive urns.
I was just about to say, Pastor F.
You know, to put this on this fireplace mantle and to sit and walk by. I wouldn't want the urn. I mean, I wouldn't want the ashes. What about you?
I don't see the point. I was just about to say, I'm going to go and spend almost just as much as a coffin cost to put my loved one's burnt body parts in this. That's just something extra I got to dust. I got to keep clean. I got to make sure nobody knocks over. I don't see the point either. The point of the cremation, I thought, was for those who unfortunately could not afford a funeral, or those who just don't want to be bothered with the funeral costs. And it's just like, okay, you know what? Let's just, or the burial costs, I should say, I'm sorry. The burial costs. Now let's just go ahead and just now, you know, cremate the body and it's done away with. All of this preserving of the ashes, I don't. Because, see, now, if that gets knocked over, now how I'm going to feel about that? Now I got to sweep up Aunt May. And when I'm going to go buy a special broom and dustpan for that so that her ashes don't get mixed up with the rest of the dust and dirt from the house. It's just too much. I don't see the point either.
Okay. Let me just interrupt you for a second and ask Brother Al. Brother Al, what's your thought? And this has nothing. Listen. Before we go into this, however people feel about your family members, we are not saying you should or shouldn't. We're talking personal. Please do not. I want to hear nothing about Pastor Steph happy and how did they say that. We're not talking about what you want to do. We're not talking about what you want to do. This is a personal feeling, okay? So please understand that that's what's being asked. Brother Al, what do you feel about the cremation and of your family and saving and preserving the ashes? Is that something that you would do or wouldn't do?
You know, not really, but I was put in that situation with my son that passed away. The mother made some decisions without me, so she decided to go ahead and have him cremated. And you know, it was already done, so I was like, okay, no sense of arguing. What's done is done. And the funeral homes take care of that. You used to see how much the urn and everything cost. And she, you know, she had gave stuff because we have insurance, but I had a little cross. I had a little cross with some of his ashes in it, and I did it because, but on a regular basis, nah, I don't think so. I mean, you're keeping, you know, for me, you're keeping the ashes for what reason, you know? So I was kind of put in this situation, but me personally, nah, I really wouldn't, you know? You go hold on to it. Then when it's your time to go, what happens to the ashes? Somebody going to throw it away.
Okay.
Somebody going to be like, man, listen, I ain't keeping it.
Okay. And that's the thought. That's the thought. Shantice is saying, what happens when the ashes spill over and, Aunt May is lying all over the place, you know, all over the carpet, and some parts of her is now on the coffee table. And you're saying, well, what happens after I die? You know, is someone else going to preserve those ashes? All right. All right. Thank you, brother.
Exactly. Now Aunt May is on the floor. So you just swept up Aunt May and the other dust and whatever else was on the floor. So Aunt May got company now.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Leave it to you. Oh, my goodness. Pastor KL, you know, if this, you know, would, if you decided to cremate, for whatever reason it is, whether it's finances or whatever, you know, would you feel like I would, keep the remains, or, you know what, I would let them just have the whole thing and I would just come away, you know, without anything, you know, because of whatever the particular reason is?
Well, let me put out this disclosure. I love my mother. I am a mama's boy. I love her to death. But if she decides that she wants to get cremated, I will grant her wish. But we ain't that close. So she ain't coming home with me. You know, we gonna stop at wherever I saw her last. Okay, we're not gonna have memories. You know, it's not gonna be like an ashes to ashes, dust to dust in mine. How about that? Wherever you go, that's where you have to go. You know, perhaps I'll put you in the backyard with the pet cemetery. You know what I'm saying? I'll dig something up and I'll bury you down there. But it's not going to be my wedding picture and the ashes on the mantle. We're just not going to do that. You know, that's just not a good look for me. That's not a good look. You know what I mean? We got married this day. She died this day. That's not a good look. That's not a conversation piece I'm looking to have. But no, I'm not bringing it home.
Oh, my God. You know, one thing I love about this Due Time crew, you can ask the same question, and the vast answers you get is amazing. Amazing. It just goes to show how diverse we all are. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, I will speak, you know, that's the way I feel. You know, if you know, my mother, we just, you know, had to put her down, and, you know, if she wanted to be cremated, I don't even know if I could carry that out. That was the only thing. So I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I had to make that decision. Well, I didn't have to follow those wishes. Because I don't even know how I feel about, you know, that part. But I know I would just go ahead, you know, we would pay for that to be the, and I would just keep, that would be, it would be her picture. That would just be it for me. I don't need ashes. You know, God bless those who, you know, feel like, you know, they're attached and they want to, you know, do that. But for me, the ashes, I just walk away from feeling home. We'd have the memorial service or whatever, and that would just be it, you know. So I have to say, I know someone who, they had no money to bury them, and they went into, they went direct burial because they were a veteran, and there was no money to do anything. And they just took the body from the facility and the morgue, and, you know, they just put the body in the ground, just like that. So you never got to see it either. So there was no remains to be kept. There was no funeral service with a body. It was not that. There was someone else I know who donated her organs, donated her body to science, I think. Yeah, and because of that, there's no funeral service. They had to have a memorial, because now they don't do it after the service. Because remember now, what's the point of donating it to science, and you didn't wait a week or 2 weeks to have a service? Because now the body isn't the same. So they're going to be losing a lot of research results if that body begins to decompose in any way. So there's only a memorial service. So these are the things that go on that I don't think a lot of people even understand. And I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt too much, but since we were on the subject, charges, I didn't want to have to come back. But so thank you for indulging me. So we're talking about does the punishment fit the crime, Shantice? And, you know, we hear about the story, you know, the guy, you know, see, I can only think about what you're going to say, you and Pastor KL, with the, you know, the chip purchase on the EBT card, which I would have honestly thought that there would be a minimum, because the chips are what, maybe $1.49 if you buy a bigger bag. And she didn't have enough. He supposedly snatched the bag out of the little girl's hand. She got mad, knocked stuff off the counter, and she ran and got her man. Her man comes back, tosses the man around. She stabs the man in the shoulder while the man is being beat up by her boyfriend. And now the man puts his hands on the knife that he uses to cut open the boxes, stabs him, the one who's attacking him, and now he's sitting on Rikers awaiting trial with a $250,000 cash or bond before him, and he will miss his trip to the Dominican Republic because he's considered a flight risk now. Does the punishment fit the crime, Shanti?
No. This was, if that's really how the story went, that is self-defense. I'm at work. You come into my establishment. You shouldn't have been at the store. You should have been at work if you needed this EBT card to buy a bag of chips. Now, for whatever the reason, he snatches the bag of chips out the baby's hand. You know, I don't agree with that. You know, we don't know what kind of argument, you know, led up to him doing that. She probably said, I'm about to walk out of here with the chips, even though I ain't got no more money on my food stamp card. Because she probably swiped, and it came up declined. And now you go and you get your peoples, and now your peoples are dead. And that's exactly what I thought before Pastor KL said it. People need to stop running to go get people to handle these situations that they have started, and now your end is the end that ends up dead. And I've actually watched that happen in person. The person didn't die, but you started all this ruckus. You go get your peoples, and now your peoples are the ones who need the paramedics. And the more people consider a scenario like this, maybe they'll stop initiating stuff and stop going to get your peoples. But no, I don't see why he's now sitting awaiting a trial. If I was getting beat up and then someone used a weapon to attack me, what else was I supposed to do? Turn the other cheek? No, I have to now defend myself. And now it's either him or me. Or it's either them or me. And thank God nothing happened to that baby in the middle of all of this, you know, fighting. Because obviously she didn't care about that, whether she left the baby at the house by herself or she brought the baby back to the store or all of this. But no, now it's either him or me. So what was I supposed to do at this point? Y'all wanted to come to get my body? Or y'all want to come to get one of their bodies or both of their bodies? No, I don't think he should be there.
All right. You know, I want to ask the question, have you ever...
Hey, Pastor Steph.
Yes.
I just wanted to inject in something. You know, I work in a store, and you know, we talk about why he snatched the bag out of the child's hand. A lot of times, us, we outside of the fence, we go to the store. We don't have no money, and we give the child the chips or whatever. They've already opened the chips before we pay for it.
And now
they're eating the chips. So now we see you ain't got no money. Give me my chips back. So, I mean, I don't think it was a big altercation. It was the child was eating my stuff that was not paid for. You know, we allow our children to go into the toy section, destroy the toys, eat whatever they want to eat, like mama's going to take care of it. No. That's us. So I just want to throw that out there.
And that's something to think about because, you know, that happens all the time. That happens all the time where, you know, you're in the store and you just, like, want to shut the kid up and you just rip open the bag and say, hey, 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 I'll pay for it, you know, when we get to the counter. And here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you said, now we ain't got no money. And I'm going to be honest. One of you said she knew she didn't have no money on that card when she left the house. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. People like this, they know what they know. They know about their business. They know about their business. They know, that's my new word right now, and I'm going to use it for times like this. They know about their business. They know good and well, when you went to Western B, you spent all your money, and you may have had $1.25 on that card. So before you leave the house, you're going to check that balance before you leave the house. You knew that you didn't have no chip money on that card. You know it. And you would yet still go, like Pastor KL said, take the kids to the... Let me tell you what she... And I want y'all to tell me whether I'm wrong or not. Here's what she was hoping. The girl wanted the chip. She knew the money wasn't on the card. But I'm going to play the game, let you swipe the card. And then when she was already with the chip in her hand, you would look over at the kid and go, you know what, go ahead and take it. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Al, am I right or am I wrong?
You're 100% right. You hit it right on the head. 100% right. She figured, okay, I can go in here. Well, it's only $1.19. They probably just let me go. She had a plan.
All righty. Pastor KL. Am I right?
Yep. She had a thought. The plan didn't work. but you're absolutely right. They do that to me all the time. And all the time they be hungry.
Yep. Yep. John T, is the storyline right?
I was at the corner store where now they sell wheat and what it looks like. Like a medicine, a prescription medicine bottle, like the slim ones.
Right.
Like where you would probably get like prescription oxycodone or whatever. And the guy came in, asked for it. I was already blown away. I'm like, really, you selling this here? That's a whole other topic. He asked for it. The guy puts it on the counter. He puts his money in the counter. And as he's taking the weed, he says, oh, I'm a dollar short, but I got you when I come back. And I looked at this other guy in the store, and I looked back at the store owner. I said, this is what you get for selling weed. This is what you get for selling weed. You don't even have, you're a dollar short. You know before you came in here, you ain't had, so if it cost $10, you knew you had $9 before you asked for that weed. You knew you had $9. So you wait for him to put it on the counter. For you to then put your hand on it, and as you're taking it up, because, oh, okay, I got you now. This is a neighborhood store. I ain't never seen him around here before, and I ain't never seen him again after. So I think it's safe to say you've been out of that dollar. You've been out of that dollar. Because now he went to the car, and I guess he found a dollar he must have dropped near the gas pedal or something, because he did go right back in with that dollar. But had he not found that dollar, it would have been safe to say that bodega owner would have been out that dollar. Because, again, like I said, this neighborhood store, I ain't never seen him before in this neighborhood. So you just would have been out of it. And even he was shocked. But this is what happens. This scenario happens all the time, whether it's something for your kids or whether it's something for you. You just figure, I'm going to just take my chance and hope that they just say, all right, whatever, go ahead. Whether they say it out of generosity or whether they say go ahead out of frustration, you're just hoping that the answer is, okay, whatever, go ahead.
Hey, Sean,
so my question. So my question is, why is Sean T?
Wait, hold on. Hold your thought, Brother Al, since you have a brand new question, because it sounds like Pastor KL is responding to Shantice. So hold on, please write it down, whatever you need to do, Brother Al, so you don't forget it. But go ahead, Pastor KL, because it seems like you're getting ready to respond directly to that.
Yeah, I've been out of the loop out of New York for a while. So they sell weed at the bodega now? I mean, legally or just the weed spot?
No, there's no more of the subtle weed spots. You can now go in and say, let me get a hero with turkey cheese, lettuce, and tomatoes. Let me get a pack of peanut M&Ms, and let me get that weed. I forget there's names for it too, because he didn't say weed. So that's why when I saw him put it on the counter, it threw me. He didn't say weed. There's names for it. There's two strains of weed you can get. They give you two different types of feelings. So whatever strain he asked for, that's what he then put up on the counter. And if I could have knocked it off the counter, I would have, because I had my niece in there with me. So you mean to tell me at any point my baby, and see, this is why she won't be going to the store on her own until she's in college. At any point my baby could walk in here, and while she's asking for that ring pop, an adult can walk in next to her and ask for that weed, and she will see them. She will see you sell this weed to someone in the same store she's getting her snacks.
Do you need a medical license?
There ain't no medical nothing. I didn't say I was at Jamaica Hospital. I said I was at the corner store.
You know you got to show your license for cigarettes, so I didn't know whether you had to show a license for...
I ain't seen nobody show no license for no cigarette either. It's just a free-for-all out here.
Ain't no license for nothing.
Half of these people ain't even got no license or no ID walking around out here. Who's showing an ID? Half of these people walking around here with no ID.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
People going to jail here.
Now that weed is legal, you really can get it from anywhere. You talk about staying at the bodega. When you walk out on the street, they have it on the table. Like it's a scarf or a pocketbook or hat. You know, you have the people on the
asking
when you walk. Yes, they have it on the table. And they're saying, hey, you know, weed or whatever they call it, like Shanti said. No, it's right there. Now that it's legalized, there's no discretion because you don't have to be discreet anymore. So being on the inside of a bodega is good compared to I can walk by outside the fish market, you got stuff on the table. So yeah, it's like that. Brother Al, you had a question.
Well, it was pretty much answered because I was getting ready to ask Shanti what was she doing in the weed spot. never mind. Scratch that question.
Wow, Brother Al. Well, Shanti, thank God that you were able to explain it before someone could ask. Oh my goodness gracious! Yeah, but I want to ask you all. Has there ever been a time when you knew you shouldn't have done stuff, or you knew that the deal was going to be off, but you weren't upfront about it because you knew you weren't going to be able to get away with it? I don't care what it was, Brother Al.
Wow, I'm thinking on that. I'm quite sure it is. let's see. What did I do? I knew it wasn't going to be right. Man. Okay. I was down in college. And, of course, you know, everybody knew I was on the basketball team. But after that, they had intramurals for the other, you know, for players who wasn't on the basketball team. And I was a coach. So it actually went well, but I was a coach of a team, and we needed shirts. So I'm like, where am I going to get shirts for? So the guys was like, yo, we need shirts. So I had everybody put in money. I think they put in, like, I had, like, 12 players. Everybody put in $10 a piece. And I went to a secondhand store and just got some shirts with no name, no number, no nothing. I think I got the shirts for, like, $2 a piece. But after the tournament, they found out about it. So I had to hide for a little bit. They were just happy to get some shirts. They were all black shirts, no numbers, no name. I was like, look, fellas, we got this at the lab. They were just happy to get shirts. And they was like, yeah, it was $10. I said, yeah, $10 a shirt. And I don't know how they found out, but somebody found out. Like, yo, man, he called me and they're like, yo, Al, man, you said those shirts was $10. I was like, yeah, they were $10. So why the guy went over there and found them for $2? You should have saw the look on my face. I didn't know what to say. None.
Wow.
So I would say that. That would come to mind for me.
Wow. I guess it's safe to tell that story now. You don't have to hide out anymore, huh?
I ain't got to hide no more. Hopefully.
Oh, my goodness. That's interesting, Brother Al. That's interesting. Very, believe it or not, it's very interesting. Pastor KL, what you got?
I've been trying to think of a story. I really don't have a story.
I know you telling a bold face lie. All these former life stories. Oh, I dare you to get on this broadcast this morning talking about I don't have a story.
I can't think of one. I just think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me.
My soul is crying out right now. You know what? I'm gonna let Shanti tell her story because you know she always got a story, and maybe then Jesus might bring something to your recollection. Oh my goodness. I know, like I did, Brother Al, a couple of weeks, I'm challenging that answer. Oh, I don't think so. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Shanti, what you got for us? You always got a story in your arsenal.
No, my former life wasn't that bad.
You know what? Oh, my goodness.
The only thing that really comes, I mean, I'm sure as soon as we hang up from this broadcast, like 15 stories are going to come up, but only thing I can really think of right now is, like, what a lot of people do. Like, you know you ain't got no money to get on this bus. You know you ain't got no money to get on this bus. But you going to try your luck. And then I'm hoping it's a male bus driver so I can get on and be like, yeah, is it okay if I just, or I put the Metro card in, no one ain't no money on this Metro card, and it looked like I'm just so shocked, like, oh my gosh, what do you mean, and I'm always looking at the machine, like something wrong with the machine on the bus, and then they're like, all right, don't worry about it, go ahead, and I'm like, oh, thank you so much, I knew I ain't have no money, I knew when I left the house wasn't going to be enough money for me to get back, but
she sounded like a lady from the store.
That they listen, and my mentality back, you know, that wasn't a plan. It was never like, okay, I'm gonna intentionally, but somehow, you know, there just wasn't any money, you know, to come back. So that wasn't like, okay, this is just what I'm going to do. But you know, it was just like, okay, well, I hope it's a male bus driver, and then, you know, more than likely he'll just be like, all right, don't worry about it, go ahead and get him. Or you get. You get on a bus and you act like you're looking for your change. You ain't got no change. So you spend the whole bus ride looking for change, and then you get up at your stop and you don't pay. So yeah,
that's called criminal activity. You sound like the lady in the store.
Yeah. You know, so you thought you were gonna bat your eyes at the bus driver and that was gonna work?
I mean, it did. It worked, but was it with the Lord? You know, he didn't put a stamp of approval on that behavior. I mean, but you know, I ain't never get kicked off the bus.
Okay, all right now. Well, thank you for your story.
You
all right, KL? Come on, what you got? Make one up.
I wasn't able to bat no eyes or anything like that. I didn't have those kind of eyes. But down here, I don't know if y'all have it up there, but when you have a house and you don't pay the water bill, they come and turn your water off. So I do remember there was one time when they came and I saw them pull up and I come running outside and I say, hey, I just paid this thing. What you mean you turning my water off? And I'm arguing. I said, listen, I don't know who you need to call, but don't let me act a fool now. I just paid this thing on yesterday. So they said,
Okay, Mr. Frazier, calm down. We're going to leave it on. I said, listen, you better, because you don't want me coming out to this office because I'm going to act black. You better leave my water on. I need my water. That stayed on for about 40 minutes, and then they came back and turned it off. And when they left, I went outside because I got my own water key. I turned it on and went downtown to pay the bill.
Oh, my God.
They're like, do you need us to come turn your water back on? I said, no, it's on. It's on. I don't need you to come back. Thank you.
You know what? I'm done. And you going to tell me you didn't have a story? Ah! Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. But you think about all these people who yell and pretend like they, you know, again, they didn't know. You know, I just paid this. No, the 40 minutes, that's hilarious. Part. That was hilarious. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for your transparency today. And, you know, we give God thanks for all your contribution into this conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
You do. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Shantisa, I understand that you got to pray for them for us today. What you got?
Yes, so this was actually sent by a request from one of our loyal listeners. They asked if we could do a pray for them for Bun B. He is a rapper who stems from Houston, Texas, so he is one of the southern rappers. He's actually been rapping since the late 80s, since 1987, 88, somewhere around that. He used to be a part of a rap group called UGK, and when I pulled him up, I wasn't really familiar with any of his songs because, again, he's like a really well-known southern rapper. So if you're into southern rap, then, you know, like, so his group UGK, again, his name is Bun B. So if you were like ever into like, let's say, Mystical or Chamillionaire and Young Jock and all of them, like that's like around in that sound. But of course, he's, you know, a bit older than they are. I didn't really find anything as far as like any scandals or anything that's like really concerning or like raise a huge eyebrow. But one of the things that I did come across was an article where he was a keynote speaker at an event called Earn Your Masters. And he was a part of a panel and he was speaking to young artists and was pretty much like, as we say in the streets, putting them on. So giving them information about how their mentality should be and what they should be aiming for in the music industry. You know, he was telling them, you know, while everyone is looking to be famous and everyone is, you know, looking to sell a lot of records, you can't cash in on those things. You can't cash in necessarily on your fame. You can't cash in on how many albums have been sold. But what part did you play on your album? So were you a writer? Were you a writer and or producer? Did you do this? Did you do that? Do you own your masters? And, you know, so on and so forth. And why that really stood out to me is because I've really been saying for a long while now, like, I don't know why a lot of these entertainers, especially entertainers who have messed up their careers, whether they were messing with drugs or alcohol or men or women, or they just messed up their finances or whatever, why don't they hold seminars and workshops for a lot of these younger people who aspire to be in that business, whether they want to be an artist or whether they want to be on the business side? But why are they not holding these seminars and or workshops to now share this information? You know, I've been in this industry. I've messed this up. I was able to do this, and I actually was successful at doing that. And to actually see him pretty much like kind of pay it forward and take the time to sit and be, you know, open and transparent with them about where their head should be, I think was a really good thing. And a lot of other entertainers should, whether they're still in the business or not, or whether they progress. You know, a lot of them, they start out as artists and then they move into, like, the business side of it. But I really, really thought it was really important. So I feel like we should pray for him and lift him up as far as his mentality. You know, he is an older guy now. And, you know, maybe allowing God to now move him out of the artist portion of it or aspect of it and more into the mentoring, because with him being street, with him being in this game since the late 80s, he's actually witnessed the transition of music and the industry and, you know, how you have to look out for yourself and who to trust and who not to trust. So a lot of these, you know, microwavable artists now actually need people like that who are not afraid to speak their language and talk to them and really, again, quote-unquote, put them on to how their mind really should be and what they really should be focusing on. So just, you know, lifting him up in prayer regarding him paying it forward, him taking the time out to really invest in others instead of maybe him just focusing on his rap career, I should say.
Okay, okay. And his name is Bundy?
Bun B. So his real name, hold on, let me put up. I think his real name. His real name is Bernard Freeman, but his rapper name is Bun B.
Bun D as in David?
Oh, B as in Bunny.
Oh, Bun B.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All righty. So thank you for that submission to our loyal listener, and we thank you, Shanti, for doing the research to just kind of let us know who this Bumby is. And his name again, Bernard Freeman.
Bernard Freeman. Yes, Bernard Freeman.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let us hold hands for Mr. Bundy. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, oh God, because you've been so kind to just deliver us straight into this part of the week. And Lord, as we come together holding hands and holding hearts, we want to just thank you that, you know, even these small altercations that we get into, you know, on the news and these things that we see start off small and they escalate into something big. And now our life is gone. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, to just keep us at bay, you know, that we're not stirring up any anger. We're not stirring up any problems, that we are not going forward knowing that we have not done the right thing, that we would pretend like we've done what we were supposed to do and we did it. And now that's causing a bunch of melee. And we're giving you thanks, God, that we can see this and learn this lesson from the outside, that we don't have to be a part of this in order to learn. And right now, dear Heavenly Father, we're lifting up Bernard Freeman, Bun B, as he's known, God, in the industry. And, Lord, we have not heard anything negative about him. So we're going to say thank you for that, God, so many times. In more recent months, that's all we've been seeing. Whether these were international rappers or rappers known in their own hoods or rappers known in their own region or state, God, we've seen them falling. Every time I open up, I see rapper dies. And Lord, we're just grateful that you preserved this individual from the 80s, God. And we don't know whether he has given his life to you or not, or we don't know whether he acknowledges you or not, God. But what we will do, God, is lift him closer to you. That as he's telling people all of the skills and the knowledge and the wisdom and the ins and outs and all the things that he's learned about the industry, and he's trying to put them on, all the listeners, all the participants, that there would be a day, dear Heavenly Father, soon, much sooner than later, that the attention that he's drawing, he could now draw that attention to you. That he would say to himself, I got to give my life to the Lord.
I've got to give my life to the Lord because he's due just that. And we thank you, Father, for just preserving his life, preserving his sanity. We don't know the ups and downs that he's been through. We don't know if he's been on drugs. We don't know if he's been clean. We don't know if he's been a drunkard. We don't know if he's been clean. We don't know if he was a womanizer or whatever, you know, else he could have done that we hear so often about these rappers, God. But we're grateful to Heavenly Father that we now have somebody that we can actually pray for, that we can actually say he's paying forward in a clean, quote-unquote, manner. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the example he set even on his level. We're not going to dismiss that because your word says that the rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. Well, God, we understand that we're going to learn lessons from those who are not believers, not only believers. But we're definitely going to learn some hard lessons from people who don't even know you, because we have not been guaranteed that the only people that we are going to hear something from will be people who speak your name. But we know, God, that if there's a word that's given, you're involved. So we say thank you. We say thank you to Bundy for everything he's done. That's positive. But we give you the glory. We give you thanks for all that you've done in his life, maybe a family's life, and all the young people that's coming up behind him, God. But, Lord, we really lift him before you so that he can learn your will and your way for his life, that if he can draw people and if he can speak of some goodness, that he will look and take the shine, that he will always be able to say, if not for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. And even if he could say it, God, we just pray that he lives it, that it would not just be words, God, because so many of these people walk around with the crosses on their neck. They walk around with talking about, you know, I give God thanks, but yet their lives are so opposite. Their lives are so opposite because they feel like they've got Jesus in their heart and that's all they need. But we're here to tell them that they need to make this a personal thing, that they need a Savior in their life. So we're grateful, God, that you have one son and who he can be all of our friend at the same time, that he can be all of our Savior at the same time, that he can be our Redeemer at the same time. We're thanking you, God. We're thanking you, God, for this life, and we pray that you keep him on the straight and narrow. We pray, God, that wherever he goes and wherever he speaks, there will be no melee. Thank you, Father. We love you for listening to us today, and we thank you for giving us all the opportunities to get right. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you, Shanti, for that pray for that. And we thank the listeners for submitting. It's so free to submit your pray for them. And we'll put it in on Thursday. I pray you have a blessed day, Shanti.
Thank you, too.
Thank you. So today we spoke about, you know, knowing things beforehand, being blessed to know of things beforehand before, you know, we even attempt to do it. And we have someone who more than likely probably knew that she didn't have the money. And again, you went and reached back for this person to help fight your battle. And now you become responsible for his life. Opposed to just asking him for the $2 it would take to buy the bag of chips. Maybe he didn't have it either. Well, then again, stay out the store. You know, it's nothing to rustle up a couple of dollars for a bag of chips. But maybe there was a family member who had that bag of chips, and maybe even more for the little girl. But we're going to assume that she didn't burn all her bridges, or he didn't burn all his bridges, and they had actually had someone that they could have gone and asked for it, but they opted not to. You know, God says, I'm here to take care of your needs. And we can't limit how God gets that done. You know, would we like to have this on our own, you know, at least chip money? Do I really want to go tell somebody that I don't have chip money? Well, let me tell you something. If you don't have chip money, you need to definitely consider your life. Is God getting your life? Is God getting your life? Because I'm not saying that people of God can't get that low. But let me tell you what the Bible does say. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the word of God says, I was never left begging bread. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. And I think about that with the bag of chips. You know, that's a promise that God has given us, that he'll supply all our needs. So does she even need the bag of chips? I mean, there's so many ways you can look at this thing here and understand that, you know, God was not out of the equation when it came to even just that. And we, as unjust as this is, if this is a man who has lived his life doing nothing, never being in any trouble, you know, but yet finds himself here, you know, that's something that he has to think about. You know, what have I done? What am I not doing? And even if God comes up and says nothing, you know, you're not doing anything wrong, at least you would have taken the time to ask God to assess you. Stop looking in the mirror doing the self-assessment. I'm not a bad person. You know, I had to do this because at least I didn't. This is a dangerous game you play. I say stay before the Lord for everything. Even a bag of chips. God, I got this EBT card empty. God, Mary wants this bag of chips. I really can't afford it. He's going to either provide that bag of chips or he's going to show you something else that you can give her that would take the place of those bag of chips. Based on who you are, what you do, he may also let you go without that bag of chips and don't replace it with anything. We don't know what he's trying to say or do. We have no idea. But that's why it behooves you to pay attention to all the things that are going around you. You know, I was just informed of something recently. And I said to God, I said, I wonder why you let that happen. And I'm asking you that if it was to push me into a thinking pattern, if it was to draw my attention to something, good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent, if it was your way of pointing out to me that you need my attention, I haven't done anything. This is something I hadn't done anything at all, as far as I could see. But really was unjust and nasty and disrespectful, and, you know, I had nothing to say or do about it. But I went to God and asked God, what do you have for me to learn and glean from this? Am I supposed to be paying attention to it? Well, the answer is always yes. So let's make sure you see God in everything before you say or do anything that might be out of the norm. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time, and I want to thank you for sharing in the conversation with us. Thank you again for submitting your suggestions. Please don't let this opportunity pass you by where you either give God your life or you take this opportunity to deepen the relationship that you have with God.
until tomorrow, God spare our life. It's Freestyle Friday. I love you.